welcome to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm your host, Mikkel, and today we're talking about what if my thoughts are true. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the podcast today. I have been getting a question that we're going to talk about today. Now, before we dive in, I have to do a shout out. We got a podcast review, and this is from Sophia M. Paula, and she wrote, "This podcast has been such a blessing. The calm and peace I feel when I listen to it is so hopeful. I didn't know what I've been feeling has a name to it, and knowing it does brings me security and I don't feel so alone." Thank you, Sophia, for taking the time to write that review. And if you haven't gotten a chance yet, take some time, go hop in the reviews, and if you don't mind leaving a review, it helps the podcast a lot, and I really appreciate when you guys take the time to do that. So thank you for sharing, Sophia. Now, today's episode, what we're going to talk about is a question I often get different flavors of, which is whenever we're asking something along the lines of, we have an anxious question. What if this isn't right? What if we're not connected? What if we're not in love? What if something's wrong, right? We have these questions our brain obsesses on. And then we have the answer that we start seeking. And often when we talk about anxiety, what we start to open up to is this idea that maybe these thoughts, these questions, these fears are not as important and scary as they feel. And this can be freeing on one hand because we feel like, oh, okay, this isn't a big deal. But our brain will start to kick in. See, anxiety does not want to lose importance. Anxiety likes to feel in control and in charge. So when you get the term relationship anxiety, or you might start to identify like, oh, this thought is anxiety, what happens is we start to shift the power dynamic in our brain. We start to shift the power away from fear. We stop putting so much energy and so much focus into fear. And when we shift that power dynamic, fear starts to freak out because it wants to be in control. It wants to be in charge. And so that's when our anxious brain starts saying, no. You need to worry about this. This is really, really important. And we may even notice, like, when we label a thought as anxiety, we get a little bit of relief, but then there's like this huge wave where it hits even harder because anxiety is really pressing and saying, no, this is important. You need to listen. Don't ignore me. And often we are actually addicted to the hormones and the stress chemicals that come along with fear. And so whenever we start trying to cut out anxiety and recognize a thought is like, hey, this is fear, and we try to disengage with it, again, our brain wants to be in control. The fear wants to feel in control, as well as our hormone balance in our body is like wanting to stay in that anxious place. It's wanting to stay in that anxious zone. As uncomfortable as it is, we can get addicted to those stress hormones. So that's often where I think this question comes in of like, what if this isn't anxiety? What if this thought is true? Because often I find it's a way that anxiety wants to come in and take the power back. It wants to come in and say, no, I'm in charge here. So often that's what's going on with this question. And I want you to know that. Now, here's some things that I think are really powerful that I find so helpful when this question comes up. So first thing is to know that thoughts and questions that your brain asks are never absolute truth. Our thoughts are just thoughts. They're not reality. And that is why we can spend so much time going back and forth, and we can paint a whole story for why everything is so good in our relationship, and we could paint a whole story for why it's horrible and awful, because our thoughts are stories. We can create many different stories
with the same reality. With the same reality that is in front of us, we can paint this picture of beautiful connection, wonderful, loving, thriving relationship. We can create a story of despair and doom. We can create a story of something kind of in the middle. And a lot of times our brain will fluctuate in between these different stories. But ultimately, it all stems from the same reality, the same facts. So this is why sometimes we could be like, oh my gosh, we're so connected and so in love. And when you're like in that mode, what you start looking at is like how your partner was really, really sweet in that text he sent and how you guys just really connected the other day and how much fun you had. And you might be focusing on these moments over, let's say, this past like 48 hours. But then let's say like things keep going during your day and you have a trigger happen. Something triggers anxiety. Maybe a friend mentions breaking up with their partner. Now, all of a sudden, here's fear. And fear says, but what if we're not connected? And now we have this whole beautiful story of how we were connected and evidence for it. But your brain rewinds over the past 48 hours and it looks. And it's like, wait, well, there was this one comment he made. And like, why didn't he answer me about this text? Like, yeah, he sent that sweet text, but why didn't he answer me about this? And like, oh, but there is also like, you know, there's Valentine's Day coming up and I don't think he's planned anything for that. And all of a sudden, before you know it, we've built this whole story about how disconnected and how unloving your partner is. Same exact situation, same reality that's been going on, but our brain, with its thoughts, is able to shift. We're able to shift from building this whole story of love and compatibility to then, oh my gosh, everything's wrong and horrible. And this often is why we can be really confused, because we start flipping back and forth between the two. We start trying to figure out, is this story true or is that story true? Is this story true or is that story true? When really, they are both stories. They are both things that your mind has created around the same facts in front of you. The same exact thing that's right in front of you. Like, we could take a moment of silence in your relationship and we could make a story about how you guys are so comfortable and so at ease with each other that you don't have to talk all the time. And it's okay for there to just be quiet and space, which I've totally coached clients on, by the way. I've heard some clients say this where they're like, I just wish he was more comfortable with silence and we could just be at ease with each other. Whereas I was the total opposite, where I was like, if we were comfortable with each other and we were connected, we'd be talking all the time. And that might be the same flip story we could take with that silence of, oh, we're not connected because we're not talking. So we can take the exact same reality of there being a moment of silence and we could create two very different stories from that reality. So why does this matter? I want you to know that your thoughts are not truth. They're never truth. They feel true to us sometimes. They might feel scary. They might feel happy. They have feelings attached to them, but our thoughts are still just thoughts. They're stories. They're not what is actually going on. They're our mind interpreting what's going on. So whenever your brain's like, well, is this thought true? And we start going down this rabbit hole of chasing it true, it's kind of this like wild goose chase that we're sending ourselves on, because you're not ever going to be able to prove it true or false. You're just going to be like arguing with yourself and creating different stories, because that's all it is. So that's step number one, I think, is just to recognize like a thought could be construed as truth. We could argue it one way, we could argue it another, but in the end, it is a story. It is a thought. And no amount of arguing with yourself is going to be able to turn your mind's thinking, your mind's stories into absolute truth. It's still just something your brain is doing. Now, what I think is a lot more powerful to know and to act on is recognizing when we have a thought and we have a story is what I think we're really, really trying to ask deep down underneath our questions is, should I act on this thought? Should I do something about it? Should, when I have this doubt or have this fear or negative thought about my relationship, Should I leave? Or should I stay? Should I fix this problem? Or should I not? That is, like, I think really what we're trying to get at is, should I act on these thoughts? If I have a negative thought about my partner, then does that mean I should act on that negative thought? Then does that mean I need to leave the relationship? And instead, what I think is really, really powerful to ask yourself is, does spending time and energy on this thought serve me? Does investing time and energy in this thought make me more of who I want to be in the world? Does it make me a more loving being? Does it move me closer to who I desire to be, to the dreams I have, the goals I have? If I spend time and energy focusing on lack of connection, if I spend time and energy focusing on ways that we don't love each other enough. And often I find the answer is no. Putting time and energy into these thoughts does not make us more of who we want to be. It does not make us help. It doesn't help us create that relationship that we are craving and wanting to cultivate. So rather than, like, spending time on, is it true, is asking, does this thought serve me? Does it serve time to put energy into this thought? Is investing in this thought helping me create more of what I want? And there's always the fear of the unknown, right? There's fear of what could happen in the future. And, like, well, if I don't put time into this thought, if I don't put time into worrying about this thought, then something really hard and scary could happen in the future. Then the relationship's going to go badly. Then I'm going to get hurt. And again, another way that anxiety kind of tips its power back in, like, its favor. But our future, we cannot control. We can't control how the future goes down by analyzing right now. It doesn't happen that way. We have the most absolute power in our relationships by being really focused on who we want to be in our relationship today and what we want to create in our relationship today. That's where your power is going to be. Not in the future, not in obsessing about the past, but right now. And the one last thought that I have for you guys is, if you can step into right here and right now, and your brain starts worrying about, like, what if with the future? What if certain things happen that I don't want to happen? What if I get hurt? All of that. Then what is so important is to step into self-trust. To trust the future version of you that she can handle hard things, that she will be able to get through whatever life throws at her, that if there are certain challenges that arise in her relationship in 10 years from now, she's going to know how to deal with it. Your job is not to protect her. Your job is not to analyze to death for her. Your job is to be right here, right now, creating today. And it's not going to come from analyzing the truth of thoughts. It's going to come from you showing up powerfully as the person you want to be. You showing up open-heartedly with willingness to give and receive love. That will create much more of what you desire than chasing and trying to figure out if thoughts are true all the time. It's just not going to serve you. So thanks so much for tuning in today, you guys. Have a beautiful weekend, and we'll talk next week. Bye.